Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to an expert talk from November 2018. Miss Ellen Bent, Professor for Knit Design and Innovative Product Design, Hochschule Niederrhein presents Textile Mission, Initiative Against Microplastic.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Ellen Bent and I'm very happy to be here today to give you an introduction to a special project that is focused on microplastic in the environment. And the project is called Textile Missions, and I have some experts here on the stage with me to discuss the problem. And we have one of our first guests, he's not here, Mauro Scalia. We were a little bit sorry about that. He's the Director of Sustainable Businesses of Eurotex, but was not able to come here. But I have some other very good experts, like, for example, Robert Klauer, Project Leader Textile Innovation Microplastic at VAU DE Sports. And his colleague, Lara Delle. She is Innovation Manager Materials at VAU DE Sports and a colleague of mine at Niederrhein University, Marlene Obermann. She's Material Researcher. And we are working both together in this Textile Mission project at Niederrhein University at the Faculty of Textile and Clothing Technology. The whole project started 1 year ago, September 2017, and was initiated by the Federal Ministry of Education and Research in Germany. It's part of a kind of project network called PlasticNet, and there are all in all 16 different kind of projects working together on the same topic, microplastic in the environment, and our project is focused on textiles in general. So partner in the project are several stakeholders and companies, as you can see here. The Association of the German Sport Article Suppliers, BSI, the World Wildlife Fund. There are two universities involved, our university, Niederrhein University in Mönchengladbach, and the Technical University in Dresden. And we have several partners from industry, as you can see here, Adidas, Polartec, VAU DE, and for the testing we have Henkel and Miele as well in the project. Before we want to start with the closer details, there's one thing we have to clarify, because as we found out in many different kind of public discussions, there are two terms mixed up. The first term is microfiber, and the other term is, and that is our real problem, is microplastic. It's very dangerous to mix it up, because these are very different kind of things, and I would like to ask Marlene from our team, would you please give us some information about these two terms and why better not mix up them?
Yes, sure. Basically, microfibers are specially engineered fibers with a fineness of 1 denier or less. They have a very smooth touch and high tensile strength. The fineness is basically 3 to 10 micron in the diameter. Microplastic whatsoever is a term used to describe any kind of plastic smaller than 5 micron. If we talk about microplastic that was generated by textiles, we talk about textile-based or fiber-shaped microplastic.
Yeah, so this is a very big difference, because microfibers are very important and very good for the sportswear business. Microplastic, of course, is it not. And the microplastic in the environment becomes more and more important. As you can see here, we have two charts of the Umweltbundesamt, and they give us an idea about the influence on animals living on the coastal water or marine waters. For example, on the left-hand side, you can see fulmars, that are birds living at the coast side, and in 94% of their stomachs, microplastic was already found in the past. And on the other hand, you have here a number of 69%, and this number stands for the number of fish in the Baltic and Northern Sea, and in their bodies was found microplastic. So as you can see, this gives evidence that the microplastic already has reached the human food chain. Another chart here shows us where the primary microplastic sources are. I don't maybe let me help you because some of my guests are sitting in front. So in the first place here is tire dust, and this is the most volume, and there's one of the projects in the Plastic Net project organization just working on that topic. Then we have pellet spills, that are particles from ships or from plastic waste in general in the water that fragment to smaller particles. And in the third place here, we have textiles, and that means, as you can see on the right-hand side, quantity of about 190,000 tons of microplastic just coming from textile sources to the environment every year. This is something everyone has to discuss at the moment, and I would like to ask Robert Klauer. Robert, just let us know, how is Vaude as a very sustainable company facing that problems, and why are you part of the project?
Yeah, thank you very much. We at Vaude, we have two different solution approaches to face this problem. On the one hand, we have the short-term solution to, like, we developed together with Ponte Torto the biopile with 100% tensile. We use at the inside of our fleece jackets in our current winter collection. And on the other hand, we want to work on like a long-term and holistic solution against microplastics. And this we cannot solve by our own as a middle-sized business, auto business. And that's why we are part of the textile mission project to work together with the university, with the textile experts. Here and together with other brands, because you have to work for a holistic solution for the whole market, and that's why we are part of this project.
The project is trying to get a holistic approach to the whole problem, and I think you all know that the number of people on our planet is growing, so the textile fiber production is increasing steadily, as you can see here on the next chart. So you can see here the general production range is about 90 megatons in 2015, rising from 1975. At the same time, that means that man-made fibers grow up to about 67 megatons, and just polyester, there we have a quantity of about 52 megatons produced in 2015. So, Lara, what do you think? Will this tendency go on? Will we have still increasing quantities here?
Yeah, I think so. One reason is, of course, like you already said, our growing population. So we could never cover the demand with, for example, organic cotton or wool, because we couldn't grow any food then. And the other reason, of course, is because of the performance of synthetic fibers, especially for the sports markets. They offer really great performance because they are fast drying, easy care, durable. Mm. So I think this trend will definitely go on.
Yeah, for sure. I think she's absolutely right, because we need good properties for the sportswear market, and not only for sportswear, but comfort is a big story in the general fashion market as well. So, and we in our project focus on one special garment or one special material, especially because it's very successful in the market, and that is polyester fleece. It's a very good material. We have very good properties. It's voluminous, it's soft, it's got a very good hand feel, and that is why it was so successful in the last years. The problem it seems to create is that during production, to create this surface, a smooth surface, there are several finishing processes needed, like brushing or shearing. And that means that even in production, we have a fiber loss of about 20 to 30%. And this is what you can see on the picture on the right-hand side. So this is what comes out of the fabric, and that continues while wearing and using the material. And For example, sometimes ago, Patagonia stated a publication, and they told about they compared the microparticle release of 100,000 fleece jacket with the same quantity of waste like 11,900 plastic bags. Just the release, not the material as well. So this means that we have to focus this material especially, and I would like maybe to ask Lara again, do we need these processes, or is it possible to think about something without brushing and shearing?
We are very open. Right now, we need it as the market is demanding it, because the fabric is really soft. It offers a great hand feel. It offers also great insulation because the fabric captures a lot and stores a lot of air, so it keeps our consumers warm. But of course, yeah, if we find other solutions, other ways to also develop fabrics with the same performance, with the same touch, with the same hand feel, I think it could be definitely a solution for the whole market as well.
Okay, yes, thank you. I think we all need something in that direction. So, and our project started already with some testings, and as you can see here, these are the tasks of the two universities in the project. So at our university in Mönchengladbach, started to do washing tests 1 year ago. We are filtering the washing liquid, and the fibers that we get, we forward on to Technical University of Dresden, and there they have a closer look what happened to the fiber in our environment, what happens in the wastewater management, and what will happen, for example, when the fibers are in the savage sludge. That means the savage sludge is used as a fertilizer on our fields again, so there we are again very close to our food chain, and this is what they try to focus in at Technical University of Dresden. So this is how we are connected at the moment. We already found out that there are several kind of research projects dealing with the same topic, but there are some very special things that we do that are not happening before. And so I would like to ask my colleague Marlene, because we have some pictures here from our research plant. Marlene, why are we investing considerable time and effort in this type of test with a real German household washing and drying? And why are we doing this very complex filtration?
As you already stated, we are the first research project to do so, to actually wash 3 to 3.5 kgs of washing load with detergent in a household washing machine. Then we filter the whole liquid that comes out of it. And as you can see in the picture below, we try to fragment this the size of the fibers that comes out of it. On the next slide, you see this is our finest filter. It has pore size of 5 micron. And this filter actually is the one with the highest coverage in every washing or filtering process. So it is quite needed.
So there come a lot of fiber out of the material that are bigger, but the most fiber come out in a size that was not measured before. So this is very, very important, and a very important step to go on with the next results. You can see that there are some other surprising things we found out. Here on the slide, you see the result of some washing cycles with different washing loads. So as you can see on the right-hand side, we have a washing load of 1.4 kilogram compared with a washing load of 3 kilogram. And we, as you can see, the washing procedure has a big impact on the fiber loss, because if you put less material in the machine, the fiber loss is rising. So this is one very interesting story. And the other thing is that we compare the drying and the washing procedure. And, well, Lara, as a material developer, have you expected these things? Or maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the connection of drying and washing?
Yeah, I think in drying or tumble drying, you have a really high level of mechanical stress for the material, and that's the reason for the high fiber mm-hmm. loss, and that's what we think so far. I think each consumer can see it at home when they are removing the fibers from their filters. It's always full, and I think this was also like a kind of indication that this will happen. Yeah, I think it's really because of the mechanical stress. That's why we, for example, at VD already since some time do not suggest to tumble dry our garments. So in our care labels, we suggest to line dry them. I think this is something which we already learned and which every consumer can really do at home already. Also because it's more environmental friendly, because you do not need any resources mm-hmm. like washing powder or water or energy. It's also better to really pack your washing machine also because mm-hmm. of environmental friendly aspects, because you are saving resources again.
We learned that even the fiber release is better yeah. in that yeah. case. So please yeah. do not put only one garment in your washing machine. That makes no sense and is not sustainable.
Yeah.
Yes, there are other things that we expected, that, for example, the fiber release is getting down with each washing cycle and drying cycle. So the biggest fiber loss is in the beginning, in the very first washing procedure, and it's then going down. And, well, we go on testing, and these are our very first results, or some of the very first, but we are happy to share these results today with you. Very important topic we are working on is the development of a standard quick test. As I told you before, we found out that there are several research projects and they are all working with different kind of testing methods. So it's not easy to compare results from one research project with the other. So one of the main targets will be to have a standard solution. Robert, Baudet, so what are your main ideas about this development? How important is it?
Yeah, so as you mentioned before, it's really important to have a standardized test method to compare all the results we have in the different projects, but also to compare the fabrics we use. So we cannot wait until they get tested and then have like 10 washing cycles behind them. So we need to know if we want to use a fabric, how big is the fiber release so in the future? And that's why we need the standardized test method. And then it could be an important tool for our product development to search the fabrics with this knowledge. Yeah.
Not all company can use household machines and wash all the time to do the testing, yes. So I think this is very clear that we need something. And I think you mentioned, or you mean as well, that it will be a kind of standard test for all materials in future, maybe. So like shrinkage and other things, maybe it will be a standard method to measure this fiber release. What do you think? Could that be, or... With a quick test, of course.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, okay.
So I think there are so many projects working on these topics, so I think there will be a test method for all fabrics.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And quick test, it has to be quick, of course. Okay, so another thing that is running at the same moment here is a practical wearing test. This is important for us as well, because we don't want just to stay in the lab and to wait or to use some mechanical methods to imitate the wearing of the materials. So we have, as you can see here, at Vaudi in Tettnang, at our university in Mönchengladbach, and at the Azores, some students are traveling there, and they are doing the wearing test. And as you can see here, Robert on the stage as well is doing a wearing test at the moment. Is it important to do that as well?
I think it's really important, because most of the people ask, okay, you wash the fleece jackets and you dry it, but you don't wear it. So how we can use the results? And that's why it's really important to have also like results at the end of the project with fleece jackets, which get worn. Yeah. So that's why we have the wearing test, and we also want to see the influence from the environment, the sun, and the sweat of the people, so no one have a fleece jacket without some bacteria or particles on it, so it's not so clean as at the moment the tests are. So that's why it's really important to have these wearing tests.
Okay, so this is all happening at the moment. Something that started only 2 weeks ago is this part of the project. A big task at our university as well is the material development. So we don't not only want to test and to find out what is wrong, we want to improve things. So we want to improve the materials that are already in the market, and we want to develop new materials that will have much less fiber loss than the materials that are already there. So I asked my colleague Marleen, because she had a lot to do on that machine in the last week, and please give us an idea how we started this development and how we go on.
In the first place, we started using the test that we did on supplied materials of our partners to look what we should do, what we maybe should not do. And starting from there, we got this great machine, yes. And on this, we play with different parameters. For example, we change the yarn, the structure of the yarn, the material of the yarn. We use as well natural yarns as synthetic yarns. Also, we do change construction parameters such as yarn tension or plush height. This is a plush machine. Yeah, we then go on, test those as well, and yeah, try to have the perfect material for you in maybe 2 years.
Yeah, I hope that we just started with that. We have our partners in industry that help us to do the right things, and we work very close together, and this is important that we find a holistic solution. I think there's not one solution, but we have several different kind of smaller packages to do, and so in the end I hope we will have many little and small very good ideas and materials to go on for future. And we hopefully, as Marleen mentioned, in 1 or 2 years we will stay here and promote these new ideas in fabric material. We are at the end of our presentation here. Maybe you have some questions and would like to ask something. Please fire your questions against us. Okay, maybe have a microphone for the lady as well here. No?
Are you maybe also looking into detergents to improve detergents for the loss of microplastics?
Yeah, I think one of our project partners, a washing detergent company, they are doing somehow.
I help. So the first of all is we wash with detergent. All other tests until now were done without, because to wash with detergent is something that makes it more complicated. But we want to have a realistic view on the whole story. And as you have seen in the beginning, we have Henkel as a partner, and they delivered a special standard mixture of liquid detergent that we use all the time to have always the same basic for the results and not a variation. And for them, it's their own project to look at the result and to go on in their research and to go on with that. But at the moment, we are washing only with all the time the same recipe, because otherwise it makes no sense. Yep. Okay, other questions? So the question is, what different kind of fiber combinations we are testing? We're starting at the moment with polyester, because we think that to be sustainable means to have a solution that is possible to use for all price ranges. So, and then we go on, we want to test biopolymers. We are testing, of course, natural-based materials like Tencel or other materials of that range. But, of course, we will have a closer look as well on polyamide, polypropylene, and other typical materials.
So you agree that this is not the problem only for synthetic fibers, but also Tencel or cotton?
Of course, as we found out, there are not only microparticles from plastic coming out of the materials. We have different type of fiber loss, of course. And this is something important, because if you have a blend or mixture or intimate fiber mixture, you have to see, this is a further step, for example, what happens if the synthetic fibers are mixed with the natural fiber, for example, will the release maybe be better? Will it be worse? So, yeah, we're trying to look at all things. Takes just some time. There are discussions at the moment about cellulosic fiber, whether they degrade or not in ocean water. Of course, we are connected to, for example, the World Wildlife Fund. They are doing in our project a closer research on fiber types, and so we will go on if it makes no sense. It makes no sense to replace something that creates more or other problems. So we will have a closer look, and there are tests running at TU Dresden. They will test how it degrades, in what environment, what are the best conditions, and whether it degrades at all. Maybe it degrades under some special condition. We do not know yet. Okay.
I was just wondering if the fibers react the same way to steam, hot steam pressure instead of hot water washing.
You mean hot steam? Okay,
yeah.
Steam washing.
Yes,
this is something, some washing machines have this steam process. This will be afterwards, we will test that as well, but not in the beginning, because this was another idea. The new washing machines, maybe some of you have a modern new washing machine, I got one now, with steaming instead of washing processes. And this is very interesting to have a closer look on that, yeah for sure.
Where do you release your results when you're not on a fair? I mean, where are your results accessible for the industry?
Well, at the moment we are just started. We have several kind of, not of fairs, but of other events. For example, at we will publicate that in several Fachzeitschriften. Thank you, journals. So there are already some publications, but it starts now, because after 1 year of washing, we first of all had to be sure, and we had to repeat and repeat, otherwise it makes not sense. We start now to communicate the results more and more. And if you want to have a connection to us, please don't hesitate to contact us. And we have a newsletter in future and things like that, so we will give, of course, more information.
Hi, is there a way to understand, just by looking or touching at an item, to understand if it's more risky with microplastics or no? For example, a fleece, mm-hmm. it's more, or anything brushed, mm-hmm. it's more dangerous than a plain jersey or a two-layer, I don't know, mm-hmm. that is lots of plastic. But
does someone of my guests want to answer the question, maybe? Lara?
Yeah, we do not know for sure so far, but for example, we know that for filament fabric structures, there's less fiber loss than for spun yarn. And I think also the brushing, of course, is a criteria which needs to be considered. But I think right now it's quite hard to really, just by seeing the fabric, decide if it is a high fiber loss or not. But like dense construction, mm-hmm. really dense construction.
Sometimes it's really surprising what we find out, and if we have to repeat and repeat, and sometimes we are really astonished, and we are still at the very beginning. But what is for sure is what Lara told us, that filament yarns are much better than staple fibers because they come not out of the material, because there is no chance for a long yarn or long fiber to release. Yeah. So, but it's not possible to just to say, okay, all fleece material is bad or all brushed material is bad. That's not correct. There are very interesting results of some materials, and we go on now to understand why these differences are. And another point that we want to focus on is to have a look at the performance, because for different kind of sports activities, you need different kind of properties and performances of the material. So we will try to cluster that in future and to find out whether there are some rules, this is the main idea, even for the consumer to get an idea what is not so good and what is maybe the best solution. Yeah.
So, because we have a brand and we have different kind of items, and we want to take care of what's going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. We want to be more, give more importance. So we should start maybe with the fleece part. Could be, we work with polyamide, which is continuous. Mm-hmm. Should that be a starting point, maybe to focus on what happens to the brushed items of ours? Could that be a good idea? To investigate.
That's our material developer. Yeah. She's working all day with the materials, so maybe she's the best person to answer the question.
Yeah, this was our strategy as well, that we are going to start with fleece materials. So that's why we developed the biopile together with Ponte Torto, with Tencel at the brushed site. I think it could be a strategy, but everyone, of course, needs to define for themselves. We planned at the beginning of the project to also check single jersey fabrics which are not brushed. So far, we do not have the results.
There are some very first washings, so not at the moment. Let us wash some months more, please.
Yeah.
It was not our main focus, but we go on. But I think this makes it very reasonable that we need a quick test. Easy to use for all companies in their material department to find out what is the problem or what's not the problem in the material. Yeah, or the best, not for you as a buyer, but before in the manufacturing. That this is our main target. We do not want to want material that are manufactured so that they have a release in the end. We do not know how much we can reduce, but we will something reduce for sure. Okay, another question.
So many mics.
Did you only wash fleece materials, but also polyester materials in general? Because a lot of dresses are also in polyester.
Yes, we have different kind of materials, but all from the sportswear sector. We have fleece, of course, but other materials just with a very low volume, for example, only brushed a bit, like more peach skin and things like that. So there are different kind of materials. But the exciting is that we can see now that even these materials are sometimes have other results as we expected. So it's not okay to say fleece is bad. No, not at all. And there are so big differences at the moment in the same idea of material from different suppliers and but we have another 2 years. So
but my point is that generally spoken, it's not just about fleece or sportswear materials, but it's the whole fashion industry which works with polyester. Yeah. And we have so many polyester clothes which are washed every day. And I can imagine that they also would release fabrics, although it's not brushed or anything.
Absolutely right, yes. I agree with you, but we have to start with something, and at the moment we start with sportswear because it's a big market, and of course there are other projects to come in future, so I think we will go on. Okay.
But
some other questions?
Maybe to add a little to that, we, in the very start of the project, we had standardized washing loads sorted by materials, so we also had polyester filaments and polyester staple fibers, not only fleece. We will not share the results yet, but we did that as well, and then focused on fleece because it is has such a huge market space right now. Yeah, and this is, if not done right, a very not hazardous but emission potential material.
And it's not only polyester, of course. Please, it's polyamide. It's all kind of synthetic fibers that will, in the end, create the same problem. It's just because polyester is very famous. Especially in the outdoor market, we have a lot of polyamide and polypropylene and other things. Yes, of course. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Ah, there, in the back, of course.
I'm gonna bring my mic there.
I have a question. It's really interesting what you're doing, and I wondered if you were also looking at how people could capture the fibers, maybe with like the guppy bags and things like that, so the solution could be caught by people who already own clothes and are washing them and are using them.
Yes, we tested, of course, other systems like the guppy bag or coral ball as well. The problem of the guppy bag is that the measurements of the net of the bag is so that you still can wash with water and detergent, because that is the main problem. So as we saw before, our main problem is the 5-micron filter where the most material comes out. So this is not possible with all the other methods to get that out of the water. So we tested it, and there, of course, is a kind of impact. But the other story is that it's not, Marlene, I see she wants to sell something okay, because why do you wash material? Because you want it to become clean. And, of course, you have not only fiber release in the machine, you have, of course, all kind of other things in the machine. Marlene knows that quite well because she got a cat at home, and that is the reason why she's not able to do a practical wearing test, because the hair of her cats kills everything in our testing. So, but please.
Maybe we can talk about it later on, because it is quite an interesting approach. And yeah, you have to kind of make a, how do you say it? You basically have to make sure that you have the mechanics to wash it, the membrane that it lets the detergent in, and the dust and everything that you want to have out of your clothes out.
To remove?
Yeah, to remove it. And this is quite hard to do. And therefore, the guppy bag is an approach, and we test it, but we need something else, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can talk about it later on a little. And yeah, this is going to be good.
Sounds like you want some cocktails now.
Yes, definitely. Anybody
okay.
up for cocktails?
But are there any other questions? This is why we're here. Okay, so.
You, of course, can come later on and talk to us.
As well, yes, we are in the area around. Yeah. So, thank you very much. We hope we could give you a small introduction in our project. And thank you to my guests here on the stage. And please come to our website and follow what we will find out. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other expert talks, go to www.performancedays.com. Copyright November 2018 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.